At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This video is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan, and this week we're talking about the best blue spells in CEDH. Simple as that.
Last week we talked about the best white spells, and we're going in Wooburg order, so that means that blue is next on our list.
Now, we've already talked about like best counter spells and best bounce spells in CEDH. This list is going to look probably a little bit similar to that list, I imagine, but there's other blue spells that are not those things that we'll talk about today, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, I think I want to spend more time focusing on some of those other spells instead of some of the counter spells. Because if you want to see what we think of the counter spells, you can just go watch the counter spells or the bounce spells podcast. So I think we'll just sprinkle a couple of them in, maybe some of the ones that we think are the best.
The best ones.
And then we can kind of take it from there.
Breeze through those and probably spend more time talking about phantasmal images.
Yeah, let's not start with the counter spells.
Okay.
Let's start with the clowns, because I think that is a big push.
You said clones. Right?
Yeah, what did it sound like?
I heard clowns a little bit, which would be fun.
What is the universes beyond world we have to go to get more clowns?
Like Killer Clowns from Outer Space? I don't know if they would. Maybe in like where we're doing the 80s horror theme stuff, maybe then? Like, I feel like there might be some clowns type stuff.
Oh, so we're going to get clowns this year.
I think the next horror set is supposed to be like
80s horror.
Like horror movies.
Jason
stuff.
And Freddy.
I think so. I think like that. I thought that was the vibe. So maybe we'll get some clowns there.
If we get a horror leprechaun card, ooh, we're definitely going to get Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I feel like we might as well.
Especially if they want to go into that campy kind of territory.
We're going to need some scary clowns, for sure.
Like a clown lord that gives you the clowns +1/+1. This is probably why in the last unset, when they made some of the silver border cards actually like black border and playable, I think there's some clowns maybe. I don't have proof for that, but
I'm pretty sure there are. I'm pretty sure they're in Boros colors, though. I don't know that they're in blue color pie. From what I remember, they were roughly red and white cards.
What do you think the killer clowns from outer space would be?
At least black, because they're killer clowns. And then, I don't know, red? Maybe they'd be Rakdos. I feel like they're close to Rakdos. Rakdos is like the circus stuff, like the you know, clowns are close to circus. That makes sense?
I could see that. What's a non-black 80s horror movie villain?
I don't know. That's hard on the spot. That's hard to think of them. Yeah, they all have similar motives.
There's none. We figured it out.
You didn't say clown, though. You said clone.
I said clone. Yeah. Do you want to start with the clones?
Let's talk about the clones.
Well, let's just do all the clones at the same time so we can rank them all together.
Okay.
And then that way we can start the list from there.
I love that.
There's three clones that I want to talk about today because I really think there are a triangle of clones.
Triangle's a word, yeah.
That is a word. I saved myself there. We got Phantasmal Image, Phyrexian Metamorph, and Flesh Duplicate. So Phantasmal Image is one and a blue for a creature illusion 0/0 that enters the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it's an illusion that has, when this creature becomes the target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it.
Yeah, Phantasmal Image is kind of the standard right now for clones of it being a 2 mana. Is basically the cheapest we've gotten a clone. Not basically, it is the cheapest that we've gotten a clone. The fact that it can clone anything is really good. That when it's targeted, it sacrifices itself. Can be a little bit lame sometimes if there's an Orcish Bowmaster or something like that. But with commanders like Kenrith that can abuse the putting a counter on it, making it die, and then reanimating it with its ability, copying a Dockside, you can turn that into a win condition. So Phantasmal Image for me is like the best clone. It's the cheapest. It has the least amount of downside, in my opinion. It's just a perfect card for CDH, especially when the creatures are getting better and better. And a lot of the decks are doing similar things. We're all playing similar creatures. We're all playing Docksides. We're all playing the same creatures. So it always is something.
And a lot of the times, you don't even care about that downside because you're just trying to clone something for the enter the battlefield ability, like Dockside Extortionist, which is really why we're running so many clones right now.
Yeah, exactly. Dockside Extortionist, a Thassa's Oracle that didn't win someone the game somehow.
Hell
and
yeah.
Especially commanders, stuff like Atraxa and Tivit are huge ones.
Atop. Holly's another one that comes up a lot now.
But even stuff like copying a Timna or a Krom can be huge for a deck that maybe doesn't have access to as much card advantage in the command zone.
I always said that Jessica Ishai was always missing Timna.
Yeah.
So playing any kind of a clone in that deck always felt like really good. Like having it be another source of card advantage in a deck that lacks card advantage is like kind of a stretch, but another really good excuse to want to make sure that you're including this kind of effect in your deck. That's, in my opinion, one of the better ones. Phyrexian Metamorph is one of the other ones here. That's 3 and a Phyrexian blue for a Phyrexian Shapeshifter artifact creature that enters the battlefield as a copy of a creature or an artifact on the battlefield, except it's an artifact in addition to its types.
Yeah, that or an artifact ability has gotten a huge burst recently since the One Ring's gotten printed. The extra one mana does kind of stink. It's 3 mana plus 2 life. It's always 3 mana plus 2 life, basically, unless you're literally at 2 life. But not needing to have a blue pip is relevant.
That's huge.
That's huge. And being able to, like, being able to be cast off of like a Grim Monolith or something like that. And then even at its worst, being able to copy like a Soul Ring, or there's probably worse things than a Soul Ring, obviously, but just being a mana rock sometimes can be good also.
Sometimes you even just need like colors of mana. So it's copying someone else's Arcane Signet even. Like that's an even worse than a Soul Ring, but this just has so much utility because it can stretch to artifacts. So we say it can copy the One Ring.
Oh yeah,
like that's the huge one now. And you get the protection clause still because it enters the battlefield, sees that you cast it, bada bing bada boom, bothers bing bothers boom.
Yeah, and it being an artifact also is huge because that means your artifact tutors can find it, which is nice. So if there's a creature that you want to clone, now your transmute artifact can find a creature basically in the creature that you want.
It's a huge upgrade for like the Urza decks.
Yeah, yeah. It's very flexible. Of course there are downsides of it being an artifact. You're gonna feed someone else's dockside or whatever, but I think the upsides outweigh that pretty much. And I put this at this point, I put Phyrexian Metamorph in basically all of my blue decks, I think.
Yeah, I don't, and I should be. I always am sad that I only have one clone, because I'm always finding situations where I'm like, damn, it would be great to have access to another
it's
one of these
fuckers. It's so versatile, yeah.
The last one that we're going to talk about then is Flesh Duplicate. This is 2 blue for a Shapeshifter Rebel. This one enters the battlefield as a copy of any creature, except it has Vanishing 3 if that creature doesn't have Vanishing.
Yeah, so the big issue I have with this one is just the double blue.
That's really a much bigger downside than being 3 colorless mana and 2 life.
Yeah, definitely. Just the fact that you now have to spend another blue mana that you could have previously been holding up for counter magic to protect your clone or something, those situations are going to come up and that's going to suck. The Vanishing 3, that doesn't come up nearly as much. If you had the card for 3 turns, it's like done enough if it does die at that point. The game should be wrapping up pretty soon after that. There's some situations where you'll be sad to see the card go, but more often than not, these cards are going to be Dockside Extortionist, so the Vanishing 3 kind of doesn't matter.
By the time you're playing this, it's normally like the third clone that you're playing in your deck, so you don't even really care about the Vanishing 3 because you are winning the game.
It's already done its effect after it's entered, so who cares?
Yeah, exactly. But I do think this is the least best out of all of these because I do think that Phantasmal Image being the most mana efficient with the smallest downside, I think ends up putting it at the number one clone spot. I think Phyrexian Metamorph's upside of being able to clone the One Ring or other mana rocks, I think gives it the edge over Flesh Duplicate, which is really just a cheap clone that doesn't let you hold up a lot of interaction afterwards.
I think I would rate Phantasmal Image like a 4.9. I'd rate Phyrexian Metamorph like a 4.5. And I rate Flesh Duplicate like a 4.3.
I totally agree.
Those seem right, right?
With all of those numbers. Yeah. I might even have Phantasmal Image at a 5 because
I
haven't excluded it from decks in a long time.
You know what? Fuck it. 5.
Great.
All right.
We're going to make it a 5. Okay.
There's a couple other clones that are close in power level to these. Should we talk about them?
We could. We could honorable mention them. I don't think we need, they're not going in the top 10, I don't think.
Not
so.
For us. I know, but I do know a lot of people love some of the other clones. I think we should talk about them briefly.
Yeah, there's a vehicle clone.
The vehicle clone, which name is?
When you type vehicle clone into Scryfall, it doesn't come up. I typed in Crew 3 and I found Imposter Mech.
Imposter Mech is the name of it.
Yeah, this one is 1 and a blue for a 3-1 vehicle with Crew 3 and enters the battlefield as a copy of a creature an opponent controls, except it's a vehicle. So tons of downside, which is what prevents us from being in the upper echelon of clones.
Opponents only kind of sucks. I want to have control over this card a little bit as well, so I want to be able to clone my own things when I need to. And it being a vehicle instead of a creature can be a good thing. It can maybe dodge some sorts of removal or something like that, but overall, the mana value is great. It's just not worth it for me in its flexibility. That's what I want out of the clone, is the flexibility. And this doesn't have that. So exactly, it loses that for me.
We've been talking about liking cards that rely on what your opponents have that are not Dockside a little bit less.
Yeah.
And this is like the perfect example of one of those cards.
This one's like a 3 for me. I probably rate this a 3.
Yeah, I agree. Are there any other clones that you think of that like people play a lot?
I just know we should probably bring up the ones that Tyler plays, just because Tyler plays them in Kinnan. The first one that I think of is Clever Impersonator, which is a clone of any permanent, I believe, for blue and 2 generic. It can also copy the One Ring as well as Aristic Study and a whole bunch of other things. Tyler is big on clones right now. He's playing 5 of them. It's been good. I've seen it be very good. That 4 mana restriction on it is, that feels kind of a lot.
I don't think there's any deck that's playing these that's not Kinnan, which is kind of why I didn't have them on my initial list. They are just a little bit too expensive when you have things that already do the exact same things in your colors.
The only other one that's in Tyler plays that we should just mention real quick is, I can't remember the name of it.
Altered Ego.
This one's uncounterable. So this one's close. These ones are close if you're in Kinnan or if you're in something that's trying to abuse clones a lot. They're close, but for me, they all fall below the top 10 marker for sure. Those first three are probably in the top 10, though.
Yeah, definitely. That's where I'm thinking they'll be right now, but we'll see, because we got a lot of really, really, really good cards on this list.
Yeah, a lot of counterspells might bump them out, but we'll see.
Let's talk about some of them right now. Now, again, I don't want to put every single counterspell on this list. We don't have to talk about every counterspell. If you want to see us talk about counterspells, we have a whole podcast with Tyler talking about counterspells, but I think we should at least be including the top 3, which Force of Will is definitely the top 1,
Force of Will, in my opinion, is the best blue card in CEDH. Let me think real quick to make sure I agree with that.
We'll find out by the end of the show.
I think it's probably Force of Will, but yeah,
right,
we'll find
out.
Right
now it's at the top of our list.
Yeah, it's a 5.
It's definitely
5.
A 5, and it's above Phantasmal Image 100% of the time. What do you have as the second best counterspell in your opinion right now?
I mean, I think it's a pretty close tie between Swan Song, Force of Negation, Mindbreak Trap,
and
Mental Misstep.
An Offer You Can't Refuse, I think, is up there, as well as Fierce Guardianship.
Fierce Guardianship and An Offer You Can't Refuse are slightly less for me because they don't go in all the decks. But I think specifically, and Force of Negation doesn't go in all the decks either, I suppose.
So we're between...
I know for sure Force of Will, Mental Misstep, and Mindbreak Trap, I think those 3 should go in every blue deck.
Let's do those in that case, then.
I think it's those. But then Swan Song, honestly, Swan Song maybe should be in that as
Let's
well.
Let's talk about the trap first, Mindbreak Trap.
Mindbreak
Trap. Because I would actually put Mindbreak Trap as a 4.5, because it does have a lot of utility, but there's a lot of cards that make it just say, this is a 4-mana counterspell, and that's all it does. But the upside to it is still absolutely huge. I think there's some blue Adnaz decks that still are hesitant on playing it, which is the only other reason why I won't give it a 5. Maybe it gets a 4.9.
I guess I could see that. Just the exiling of it also, it just is a huge, it makes it so much of a difference in an Underworld Breach format.
Oh yeah, and getting around things that can't be countered is also huge too.
And free is just so strong. But I can see what you're saying. I definitely know for a fact that it's Force of Will, Swan Song, Mental Misstep. I know those 3 for sure. I could see an argument for Mindbreak Trap not being in those top 3. But Force of Will being able to counter everything, although the cost of a blue card means you have to be a little bit more heavy in blue, but that's a good thing.
If you're playing blue, you're heavy in blue in CEDH.
Mental Misstep being like 2 life is so much freer than pitching a card. Not having to go down a card is so huge, even though it can only hit 1 CMC things. And then Swan Song, specifically what it does hit instants and sorceries and enchantments, the fact that it stops the Rhystic Studies, the Underworld Breaches, all the enchantments that are engines and win conditions, as well as being great in a counter war, Swan Song is incredible.
And for the least downside out of all of the 1-mana counter spells, I think.
Yeah, even An Offer You Can't Refuse gets a wider variety of things, and it is very strong for that reason, but the 2 treasures can kind of be a nightmare.
It gives any deck a little bit of upside, really.
It's like the comparison of Swords to Plowshare and Path to Exile. Like, they do very similar things. I guess Path to Exile would have to do a little bit more than Swords in this situation, because An Offer You Can't Refuse does do more. But giving the land is, I think, just so much worse than gaining the life. Giving the treasures is just so much worse than giving
the
bird.
Giving the 2-2, that's a good point. Yeah, I think that's a good point. For virtually the same spell, I think so too. So I have Swan Song at a 5.
Yep.
I have Mental Misstep at a 5. I still am putting Mindbreak Trap at a 4.9 underneath them, but still above Phyrexian Metamorph.
Yeah.
I think Interaction is more important to have than clones still. So I think naturally that's going to get the edge. So right now I have Mindbreak Trap under Phantasmal Image for that reason, then, because I'm always going to want the first clone over the 90th piece of interaction, technically.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah, sure.
I gave Mental Misstep a 5. I gave Swan Song a 5. Where do they go on this list?
I think Mental Misstep is better than Swan Song, right? Free is just so good.
And it just hits so many important spells.
So many relevant things.
There are a lot of times, though, that I'm looking at Mental Misstep and I would go, boy, oh boy, I wish that they had Demonic Consultation instead of Tainted Pact because I actually can't interact here.
Yeah, that happens much less often with Swan Song. But there are times where I'm like, man, I tapped out and I really had the Swan Song in my hand that I wish I hadn't of.
Wish I knew that my card advantage engine was going to draw me the Swan Song instead of a Mental Misstep.
I think Mental Misstep is better just overall.
Free is
as
so
a
much
card.
Better than one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you that. They're better than Phantasmal Image too, right?
Yeah.
I agree, and they're both worse than Force of Will.
Yeah, Force
so
of Will
is best. So we got it. All right, we got it set up right now. Before we move on from Counterspells, I have one more I want to bring up to see if you think it might make contention for top 10.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Flusterstorm? Only instants or sorceries, but like a virtually uncounterable counterspell.
To be honest, I think Flusterstorm is on a similar level as like Mindbreak Trap, Force of Negation, and Fierce Guardianship.
Where like most decks will play them?
They're like just under the very best counter spells, but still, I think basically every blue deck is going to be playing them. In a draft pick, I would choose them like in the second layer as opposed to those first three, but they're all to me like 4.5s, I think.
If I looked at Swan Song or Flusterstorm in a draft pack, I guess I would be taking the Swan Song over Flusterstorm.
But Flusterstorm is nuts. It's such a powerful card.
It's probably another 4.9 for me.
You think it's a 4.9? Okay.
Yeah, because I'm playing that over Phyrexian Metamorph in a lot of my blue decks a lot of the time.
What did we rate Phyrexian Metamorph?
4.5,
yeah.
But we also didn't rate a lot of other stuff yet.
I think Flusterstorm is a solid like 4.7 maybe,
somewhere
or something
around
like that.
Range. I'll tell you what, I'll split the difference between the two of us and we'll put it at a 4.8. And then that way, that will be the decider in case we put other things at these decimal points for shit like this. All right, do you want to move on from Counterspells?
I think so. We hit the main ones. There's other ones like Mana Drain, which is an awesome card in certain decks that we could talk about. Delay, awesome card in certain decks that we could talk about. Pact of Negation is also huge. We've talked about Counterspells before. These cards are all 4-point-somethings. They're all 4s.
Talk about other blue spells instead of just Counterspells.
Let's move on for a second, I think.
All right, let's talk about one that isn't in a category, Dress Down.
Yes.
This card is so powerful. Let me read Dress Down. So Dress Down is one in a blue for an enchantment with Flash that enters the battlefield and draws you a card. It says creatures lose all abilities, and at the beginning of the end step, you sacrifice Dress Down.
Here's where I love this one more than anywhere, is if your win condition is specifically non-creature related. If you're winning with Underworld Breach and Brain Freezing your opponents, I love this card. If
Hell
you
yeah.
can, on your opponent's end step, flash this in and then untap with it in play, and then it won't sacrifice until your end step. This is a 2-mana way to effectively Cyclonic Rift. Not really, but this is going to be able to get rid of like 3 or 4 stacks pieces. The Archon of Emeria, the Dranith Magistrate, the Collect Truth, all of them are going to get shut off. And as long as you do it in the end step of the player right before you, it's going to stick around till your turn, which is huge. It's such a powerful card. It's incredible interaction. It helps you win the game. It helps stops your opponents from winning the game. If they're going to go for a Kiki Jiki win or a Thassa's Oracle win or a Dockside win, it stops any of that. It's just like one of the more perfect cards for CDH specifically, I think.
I love that you can use it against the Dockside and then still leverage your clones against that Dockside Extortionist. So a lot of cool ways that you can play around other people's spells that way too. It replaces itself, which is fucking huge.
Yeah.
For a 2-mana card, like that's really what you want. Not only is it going to interact and help you win the game, but it's also going to dig you a little bit deeper, help you find something else that you might need, like that silence that maybe was just like that extra piece of protection that you needed then. So I fucking love this card. What do you rate it though? It's
5.
Is it a 5?
I think it's a 5, truly. I don't play it in every deck, and I think that's probably wrong. I think I probably should. It being 2-mana interaction is its only stinker. And like, yes, it's so fucking powerful, but just 2-mana is kind of a lot for interaction. That's the highest level. Besides like Fire Covenant, there's really not much more actual interaction that we're willing to pay 2-mana or more for. I mean, obviously there are like Abrupt Decay and Assassin Trophy, and this feels like a lot better than those cards in
this
certain
does.
Situations.
Yeah, it feels
I still
a
think
lot better than those.
I think it's a, I don't know if it's a
full-blown
5.
If we're not playing it in every deck, it can't be a 5.
Yeah.
That's straight up there. However, I do think that it's so powerful that it should be being played in most of these decks because most of these blue decks do have ways outside of Thassa's Oracle to still be winning.
In my Atraxa list, I'm not playing this card because all of my win conditions revolve me having creatures, basically. I don't have a Brain Freeze option. There's no way to actually win. Like, if you can't also win through this, I think it loses, like, half of its potency. Like, it's still a very powerful interaction piece for your opponents, but if this can't also clear the way for you to present a win while it's in play, that's where I don't play it. So it is a little bit weaker for that reason, I suppose.
Yeah, you have to play like very weirdly where like you cast Thassa's Oracle, hold priority, cast Tainted Pact, hold priority, and then bounce it back to your hand or something like you. And it's just weird, bizarre situations you have to set up in order to do that. Whereas it really does shine in the Underworld Breach deck specifically, like we said. So I do think that it probably gets like maybe around a 4.5 or a little bit higher for that reason.
I think it's a 4.5. We said Phyrexian Metamorph was a 4.7.
We have Phyrexian Metamorph as a 4.5.
4.5. I think it's about Phyrexian Metamorph. So yeah, I'm okay with a 4.5. With sometimes in the right deck, it's going to shine a lot higher than that. But because it doesn't shine on every blue deck, 4.5. Still very good. Still top of the picks if you can support it. But just not every deck can.
I'm going to put it above Phyrexian Metamorph though, because it's still a unique effect.
Yeah, that's true. That sometimes you don't want the second or third clone, but you will still want this. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I think that's just one of those things that edge it out a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about Underworld Breach cards.
This is a red card, Underworld Breach.
Well, that's why it's Underworld Breach cards.
Oh, okay.
This is Intuition. This is 2 and a blue for an instant that says, search your library for 3 cards and reveal them. Target opponent chooses one of them. Put that card into your hand and put the rest into your graveyard and then shuffle.
So this is interesting. If you are in at least Jeskai colors and playing the Underworld Breach combo, I think Intuition is a 5. If you are not doing that, I think Intuition is a 3. So I don't really know how to rate it. Like, there are some decks that are not playing it for the combo line. If you're just playing it as like a, I want to go get Force of Will, Force of Negation, and Fierce Guardianship when I want to make sure it's a counterspell and puts other stuff in my graveyard, it's much worse at doing that. Although that is a nice backup option that you can use it for sometimes. If that's your main function with it, if you're just looking to go get 3 pieces that are the same to make sure that you get the effect, I don't think it's great there, even though 3 mana instant speed tutor is still pretty good rate. It's still a 3, it's still great. It being a way to find your combo with finding Underworld Breach, Lion's Eye Diamond, and Brain Freeze? Did I say that right? No.
Savine's Reclamation
is what you find in the first one. Underworld Breach, Lion's Eye Diamond, Savine's Reclamation, and then no matter what, you can set up your Underworld Breach win to go get into again for Brain Freeze and stuff like that. That's incredible, but when it's not that, it's worse. Does that mean it's a 4?
There's a lot of other combos it goes and gets. Like, you can always get Food Chain if you play Eternal Witness, Noxious Revival, and Food Chain. Like, you can set that up.
Sure.
There's Mono Blue ways that you can, like, always set up Polymorph by having Polymorph, the Staff of Proteus, and Mystic Sanctuary. Like, that guarantees that you're going to be able to polymorph somehow. So there are a lot of decks that you just have to play other cards to make sure that this is a one card win condition. And we've talked so much about how good one card win conditions are in this format. So I think you're right. The decks that play it, it is a 5. The decks that don't play it,
but then, like,
you can't rate it.
Right. I guess, like, you know, if a deck was splashing blue for one card and not enough blue cards for Force of Will, I'm not factoring those decks into why Force of Will doesn't see play in those decks. You know what I mean? So for the same reason, I think we probably should be rating Intuition is when it's in the decks that it's in, how powerful is it? And in those cases, I think it's a 5.
We had Savine's Reclamation as, like, one of the best white cards last week just because it was part of this combo. And it runs, like, the best deck in the format.
Different competition. Blue cards are so much better than white cards, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
That's a great point, too.
It's still a 5, but I think it's on the low end of 5s. You have a couple of 5s. Maybe it's a 4.9, I'll give it. I had to ding it 1 because it's not always great, and it's great a little bit less than some of the other counter spells.
All right, I'll tell you what. I will give Intuition that for that reason then, which means that, do you think it's better or worse than Mindbreak Trap? That's the only thing it's in competition with now.
I think it's better than mine.
Because we had such a hard time thinking about it being a 5 or not, I'm going to say it's better than Mindbreak Trap.
I think it's barely a 4.9. It's really a 4.94.
4.9.
It rounds down to a 4.9, but really, it's
a 4.94444,
exactly.
Really.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about another blue card, huh?
I would love to.
This card is called Mystical Tutor.
I've heard of it.
Oh, you have?
I have heard of it, yeah.
Shit, I thought I was going to get you with this one. This is a blue for an instant that says, search your library for an instant or sorcery card, reveal it, then shuffle and put that card on top.
this is the staple of blue CDH. This is blue CDH. This
Although,
goes in first.
I gotta tell you, there are decks that I'm playing that it's feeling worse and worse sometimes.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, there's multicolor consultation decks where a lot of my combos now are winning with, like, creatures. Like, if I'm playing Kenrith, I'm playing Dockside and Emile as a main combo that I'm trying to get to. Or I'm playing Underworld Breach, and like, this can get me intuition that I like, but outside of intuition or like a consultation, there's not really a lot that this feels great to get that I don't actively feel like I am setting myself behind with the card advantage. Like, Enlightened Tutor can go get Rhystic Study and like things that can make up for the fact that you didn't get a draw, but like, this kind of feels like I need it to win the game, which I think is what still makes it really powerful. Like, when you use it, it's winning you the game, whether it's getting you Cyclonic Rift to bounce the table so that you can win through the stacks pieces that were in play, or it is getting you that second half of the combo finish. But it's a five in that I'm too afraid to cut it, but I don't feel like I should be playing it in every deck anymore.
No, I know what you mean. It's not as great of an early play a lot of the time. Like, Enlightened Tutor is such a good mulligan fixer. Enlightened Tutor can get you Mana Crypt or Rhystic Study. Right in the beginning of the game, it gets you something to help your mulligan, help you get back in the game. Mystical Tutor doesn't really do that, but if you're playing Ad Nauseam, if you're playing a one card win condition that is an instant or a sorcery, like an intuition or something like that, as well as it being able to find a counter spell and reveal that counter spell to the table so no one goes for the win because they know you have the
that
force of
tech.
Will.
That is tech.
Or like the Cyclonic Rift that you said, it is flexible, and as the game gets later, it gets stronger and stronger. In the early turns, it is less powerful, and those are important turns in CDH. Something not being good in the early turns is not good.
Yeah, I think my opinion of it right now is just a reflection of how I feel about seeing it in my opening hands more recently, whereas I do want to see it like later in the game after I have the One Ring in play and I'm looking for a specific spell and I can just go, great, tutor, draw it immediately, and then kind of take it from there.
And we always have, like, Demonic Tutor is in most of your Mystical Tutor decks, you know what I mean? Like, it can always be a chain tutor to find exactly what you need.
It feels so bad though. Sometimes you do have to do what you gotta do, but sometimes what you gotta do feels so bad.
Yeah, maybe that's not a good call for the card to be good. Maybe it's a call for the card to be bad.
Like, another reason, because it's so slow. Not only that, but you took off a draw, but you also like had to spend 3 mana on it.
I still include it in most, if not every single blue decks. I think it maybe when I was playing that Timna Sakashima to Timna's clone stacks deck, Esper stacks, I wasn't playing it in there. If you're in like a creature based deck where you just like there's not a lot of targets for it, obviously don't include it. But if it can find a win condition or interaction, I think that's good enough.
I think so too. Which means that it is gonna go in most blue decks, because every blue deck is going to play counter spells.
Right. And then most blue decks are playing consultation or brain freeze or intuition or some sort of, you know what I mean? Something like that.
So I'm going to rate this a 4.9 as well, which is going to put it under intuition, but I might think Mindbreak Trap is better. What do you think?
This probably sees playing more decks than intuition does.
So this should be a 4.95.
Yeah, we're really getting specific. Is this not a 5? I guess it isn't. I feel like this is close to a 5.
We're talking about decks that we are cutting it in and that we're not wanting it in.
Yeah. I still played Force of Will in that Timna Sakashima deck. So.
And a lot of these other cards are good at all points in the game, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, okay.
Mystical Tutor can be good if you have, like, this God Hand that can let you win on turn two when all you need is, like, one other thing. If it's part of that, then, yeah, that can be great. It's awesome to have tutors.
A similar issue to Intuition, where it's better the later the game goes, not so great in the early stages. But I think I would say it's the same power level, but maybe I do think it's like a little bit stronger than Intuition. So, yeah,
4.95. It's weird, but I think a lot of these extra decimals for us are going to make sense, because I don't want to expand the numbers.
No, definitely
not. I don't want to do that, but I think it is going to be important to justify the distinctions between the power levels of some of these cards, because they're so close, and they're so much more powerful than the white cards that we were talking about on the grand scale that it is very important, I think, still to have these distinctions.
Definitely.
Let's talk about a creature. It's called Gilded Drake. So Gilded Drake is 1 and a blue for a 3/3 flying drake. And when it comes into play, I'm going to read the actual text. When it enters the battlefield, exchange control of Gilded Drake and up to one target creature an opponent controls. If you don't or can't make an exchange, sacrifice Gilded Drake. This ability still resolves if its target becomes illegal.
Gilded Drake was once a staple of blue decks. It was in every single one. It was the best removal of the format, kind of by a long shot. I feel like recently that's not as much the case. In the past couple of years at this point, I've been cutting it more and more.
A lot of times, Gilded Drake was used to take advantage of commanders that were getting long-term advantage out of the command zone, but that's not necessarily happening as much anymore. With decks like Tivit and Atraxa, they're getting their advantage the second that their commander hits play, so by the time you have an effect like this, it's too late. So, like, it's great against, like, a Kinnan or a Kenrith, but there's a lot of decks where it is showing less and less strength.
Yeah, I think also just like the introduction of Dockside Extortionist, which made Phantasmal Image and clones a lot more powerful, it kind of made you want to lean a little bit further away from Gilded Drakes and more towards Phantasmal Image, because Phantasmal Image can copy the Kinnan and then you get the effect, which helps you win the game. It can copy the Kenrith, which helps you win the game, but it can also copy the Atraxa that normally you wouldn't really want to Gilded Drake quite as much, and it can also copy the Dockside and all these other things, whereas the Gilded Drake can't do anything against a Dockside. It's much more difficult to manipulate towards your favor than the clones are, I think, at this point.
And there's a lot of decks that don't want to give their opponents a 3-3 flying blocker, yeah, too. Like, any blue Timna deck is super not interested in this anymore.
Completely agree. Any deck that's trying to get in for damage, any Yurikos, any things like that, there's no reason to screw yourself. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
it's just not as good when you have clones, which kind of do what you want, but sometimes a little bit better often.
Yeah, the only time that this is better than a clone is when you're taking away the long-term advantage that your opponent is having, like some of the examples we already gave. It's going to be, I think, on the same level, like between Phyrexian Metamorph and Flesh Duplicate. I don't know. Would I rather have a third clone or would I rather have Gilded Drake?
Yeah, it depends on the deck a lot. I mean, it being able to take something like a Dranith Magistrate and now keep that Dranith for your opponents,
oh,
but then it
true.
Turns it off for you is huge.
Yeah, any of those stacks creatures like an opposition agent that are just
one-sided.
Yeah, I was going to say three-sided because there's three other players.
Those are all great takes for the Gilded Drake. Right now, in most of the blue decks that I'm playing, I want three clones and I don't want any Gilded Drakes. But if I'm playing green, I want Gilded Drake a lot more. If I can Neoform for it, if I can Eldritch Evolution for it, I want Gilded Drake a lot more. If it can be a silver bullet from my green creature tutors that I can do something and take it, I like it a lot more. But if I'm just trying to like win the game, I just want the clones more than I want the take effect.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Maybe it's a meta thing too. Like I play against a lot of Kinnan, so I still kind of like it to be able to take Kinnan or any of the huge bombs that Kinnan has. So I like it in Kenrith for that reason. Also because with more clones, like if someone else is playing Gilded Drake too, you can just copy Gilded Drake and then screw them out of their Gilded Drake as well.
Yep, definitely. I mean, Gilded Drake's issue is that if you just remove it with the trigger on the stack, this take never happens.
That's true too.
And Kenrith does get around that pretty nicely by being able to just reanimate it later. So that's kind of like Kenrith, I can see like using that Gilded Drake a little bit better than other commanders can. So it makes sense why you play it there.
So do you want to give this a 4.5 to put it on par with Phyrexian Metamorph, or is this just a 4?
I think this is just a 4. Yeah, I think some of them gotta be in the not so great range, and I don't play Gilded Drake very much at all recently. Some people still love it. It can be a great card, like I said, in certain decks, but I'm just not as interested anymore.
I play it a lot more than a lot of people now, I think. So I think I'm looking at it with rose-colored glasses.
I think it's a 4.
Yeah, I think it's a 4 too.
Good card, great blue option.
Yeah.
Good removal, but I would rather clones and bounce effects right now.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's talk about some of the things I think are going to be a little bit more towards the top of the list now. Rhystic Study.
Forgot about Rhystic Study, yeah.
How could you forget about Rhystic Study? It's everyone's favorite card right now.
Yeah, Rhystic Study is as good as Force of Will, if not better. Five.
It's
easy
two
five.
And a, yeah, right? It's two and a blue for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may draw a card unless that player pays one.
All the engines right now basically look like Rhystic Study. We're just looking to get as many effects that are similar to Rhystic Study as possible that draw you a card anytime your opponent does a thing. It's just such a powerful card in multiplayer. In four-player game, your opponents are doing several things. They can't always pay. They get in situations where they're forced to give you a couple cards and it snowballs so quickly. There's no upkeep costs like Mystic or more, like we're probably going to talk about in a second. It's so good. We don't have to talk about all the reasons why, you know, Mana Crypt land makes this your mulligan to three, like the best mulligan to three. At better than any seven, do you know what I mean? So
yeah, the earlier you get this out, the fucking better. This is the reason why you win games,
yeah.
Because people feed Rhystic Studies, they let you draw a ton of cards, and that's how you win CEDH games, just by having the most cards.
Card advantage is super, super important. Advantage of any kind is super important in multiplayer in CEDH, and Rhystic Study does it at the best rate that we have, basically. It's a five out of five.
It's above
as good as
Force of Will.
Better than Force of Will. Yeah.
I have it above. Mystic Remora is the next card we'll talk about then. It's a one mana enchantment with cumulative upkeep for one, and whenever an opponent casts a non-creature spell, you may draw a card unless that player pays four.
Very comparable to Rhystic Study. It's better in ways that it only costs you one mana, and the four mana cost, no one's ever going to be able to pay for it. Maybe sometimes, but very, very rarely. Rhystic Study people can pay for. That upkeep cost does suck, whereas Rhystic Study is going to stick around forever. The Mystic Remora, eventually you're going to have to let it die, and Mystic Remora is only non-creatures, whereas Rhystic Study is everything. So people can play around the Mystic Remora, they can play their mana dorks, they can hold back some of their things for a little while and wait until you run out of mana to keep going. But it is still very comparable. I think it's worse than Rhystic Study. I want Rhystic Study more than I want Mystic Remora, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I think it's better than Force of Will. And it gets even better in a format that has Mana Crypt and like all these other mana rocks. And like even Ancient Tomb allows this card to be a lot better because you can now leave up even more mana while you're still paying for it to keep progressing your board while you're slowing down everyone else. So I think it has a lot of utility, not just to draw you cards, but to also interact with your opponents, play a lot of mental games, that it just kind of, I think, ekes out Force of Will just a little bit.
Totally agree. And Mystic Remora, as well as Rhystic Study, being able to basically stop certain win conditions, because if your opponent goes through their combo line, they're going to make you draw your whole deck, and eventually you'll find an interaction. So
yeah,
it stops at a whole bunch of different areas. The fact that sometimes this is just going to draw you two cards for one mana, and you're going to go, fine, that's a great rate. I agree with you that it's probably better than Force of Will. I'd still do consider it as like a win condition, which Force of Will isn't exactly, but it's on par. It's still a five. But
yeah,
it's probably Rhystic Study, Mystic Remora, Force of Will right now.
Mystic Remora is one of those cards that you look at a hand that has it on turn one and you go, how am I going to throw this away?
Yeah, I gotta keep it.
It's an instant hand keeper all the time.
Yeah, it makes all of your hands just so much, so much better. Much more than Force of Will does.
Mystic Turn one, win the game is what that card should be called.
In four turns from now.
Yeah, exactly. So I think those two cards are going to be at the very top of our list. Let's talk about bounce spells here. I have Chain of Vapor as the best bounce spell still.
Yeah, for me it's Chain of Vapor and Cyclonic Rift and Snap. Those are the ones.
Snap has fallen off for me in lieu of March of Swirling Mist because
sure,
you can target more things. And
I like that.
There's only a handful of decks I'm playing Snap in now, so I don't know if Snap's going to make the top 10.
Here's one for me that I've been thinking about more that I specifically want to try in Atraxa is Snap Back, because it's free. And
oh,
I can tap
yeah
out for Atraxa and hold up Snap Back to bounce someone else's thing, or maybe even bounce my own Atraxa or recast it or something
yeah
for free.
I think that's another really good deck-specific one, but considering how many cards you're seeing in Atraxa, I think that's really easy for you to play more blue pitch cards
more
than you're playing
spells,
now.
Right? Especially, yeah, especially the ones that are free that I can... the ability to tap out for Atraxa and still hold up interaction feels huge.
Yeah, D-O-P-E. It's dope.
What does it stand for? Is that an acronym or are you just saying it's dope?
It stands for Dangerously Overall Progressive Engorgeousness.
in gorgeousness.
Yeah, not IN in gorgeousness. It's N gorgeousness. Yeah.
Chain of Vapor is the best one.
Chain of Vapor, I have, is the best one.
Chain of Vapor is the best one. The other ones, Cyclonic Rift and Snap. And are there any other bounce spells that are really in high contention
March
anymore?
March of Swirling Mist.
March of Swirling Mist. Those to me fall just under. Those are all 4.3, 4.4-ish.
See, again, I would put Snap down at like a 3.5, honestly.
I guess I could see Snap in the decks that it's good with Guy's Cradle. I think it's great, but you don't always have that little interaction. I could see Snap.
It's good with like Dockside Extortionist, but you don't always have that.
Yeah, I could see Snap going down to, would you say, a 3?
A 3.5, I would say. Yeah, not quite at a 3, but definitely down at lower.
But Chain of Vapor is certainly like a 4.8.
Yeah, I don't think Chain of Vapor is a 5 anymore.
Not a 5, but it goes in most decks. There are some, I know, I think Tyler cut it at Akinin. I think very permanent, based, specific, if you don't want your shit bounce decks, you don't want the Chain of Vapor, but...
A lot of like Jessica Ishai decks were cutting it too, because bouncing Ishai was something that people were doing.
But just the flexibility of it, I find, is just so powerful.
It hits everything, yeah. And using it as a ritual is the most underused aspect of it,
yeah,
too.
It's almost free a lot of times to just like bounce your mana crypt and just like get your mana back. It's a very powerful card,
especially on the turn that you're winning. It's helping you fuel your Underworld Breach too.
Yeah, if you sacrifice the lands, go to the graveyard, then you can use them to escape other things with the breach. Chain of Vapor is so powerful.
It's so good.
What are the other 4.8s that we have right
just
now?
Just Flusterstorm, and I think it's worse than Flusterstorm.
I like it. Yeah, realistically, it's the same as Flusterstorm. But I could see it being worse. Counterspells
are
still better.
Being hard to interact with and not having a downside against you,
yeah,
I think is just what pushes it out.
What's underneath that?
Dress Down.
It's better than Dress Down.
I think it's better than Dress Down, too.
This can bounce Dress Down. Chain of Vapor can get rid of the Dress Down.
Yeah, and let you win with your Thassa's Oracle.
There you go.
And then Cyclonic Rift.
So it's so funny. In casual, Cyclonic Rift is a 10 out of 10. But since it's a CDH and we're rating out of 5,
it's a 10 out of 5.
The math
really
works
casual.
Out. No, the math works out that it's less. It's a 4.7 out of 5. I don't think Cyclonic Rift is that great.
I was actually going to put it at like a 4.5.
That's what I meant, a 4.5.
Yeah, it should be a 4.5, because I think you and I have it closer to a 4.7, but I think when we look at the meta as a whole, that like little bit of a difference is actually a lot bigger than I think we're even giving it credit for.
Yeah, I could see that. It is still in mid-range hell. Cyclonic Rift is an ace. It's what gets you out of that. It's what saves you from all those situations. But the overload 7 mana, that's hard to get to sometimes.
It can be, but like it's a lot of the times the only thing that gets me out of a situation is I need the whole board to be gone.
I like Cyclonic Rift a lot. I'm playing it in most of the decks that I can. I just think the any permanent off of 2 mana, any non-land permanent, is like already at a great enough rate with no downside. Doesn't need to have anything extra besides that. And then the ability to overload everything. We don't have to talk about why Cyclonic Rift is good. It's an incredibly powerful card. Less so in CDH than casual, because I think in casual you just get to that mana point very easily and everyone's so permanent based it's much bigger. Whereas Cyclonic Rift, sometimes you're going to overload Cyclonic Rift and someone's just going to play Swamp Island, Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah, that's the thing. It
doesn't matter.
It's
right?
So much more devastating in casual when people aren't going to go, oh, okay, Mana Crypt, Sol Ring, right, Talisman, and like immediately build out their board back in one turn.
Yeah, it only buys you a brief window. Everyone's going to be able to get their shit right back all the time.
But a lot of times that window can be enough. So it's a 4.5. Is it better or worse than Dress Down and Phyrexian Metamorph? Part of me wants to like sandwich it in between the two, realistically. Because, like, Dress Down replaces itself, is always 2 mana. It does the same thing where it helps you win the game and helps you to not lose the game.
Yep. Basically, I rate it the same as those two cards. You said Phyrexian Metamorph and Dress Down. I think Cyclonic Rift has a higher ceiling than both of those cards, I'll say.
That is true. The ceiling is higher.
I think the ceiling
on
Rift is higher, so maybe for that reason it's a 4.82.
But it's a 4, so we're going to jump it up above Chain of Vapor.
Wait, what do we have it
Chain
as?
Chain of Vapor,
we had
it's 4.7. A 4.5.
4.5, 4.52 is what I meant. 4.52. It's just above those other 4.5s.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. It's a 4.52. Not a 4.6, though.
What do we have at a 4.6?
Nothing.
What is a 4.7? What's above it?
Nothing.
What's 4.8? Is
Chain of Vapor and Flusterstorm.
Yeah, it's worse than those two.
So I'm going to give it a 4.522. All right. And then is March of Swirling Mist a contender?
I don't know. I think it falls. How many cards do we have in our top 10 right now? It's got to fall below the top 10. I mean, it's as good as some of those other bounce spells. I think it's like probably like a 4.
You know what? Chain of Vapor is not even in our top 10.
Really?
Yeah.
How many more cards total do we have to talk
about? We have a ton. Really? I have so many more on here.
I don't know if any of them. What is our current top 10? Can we just take a quick break?
All right.
Break
current top 10. Yeah. So Flusterstorm is 10. Mindbreak Trap is 9. Intuition is 8. Mystical Tutor is 7. Phantasmal Image is 6. Swan Song is 4. Mental Misstep.
Wait, you just said where's 5?
Swan Song is 5. Mental Misstep is 4. Force of Will is 3. Remora is 2. And Study is 1.
Yeah, that's true. I could see Chain of Vapor being better than Flusterstorm.
But even then, I think there's other cards on this list that's going to push it out of the top 10.
Okay, all right.
All right, we're not going to talk about March of Swirling Mist because
it's like the 25th best blue card. It's really good, but it's like,
really good, but not good enough.
Not good enough.
All right, let's talk about Thassa's Oracle.
Oh. I guess this is a blue card. It has to be the best.
It's certainly up there.
It sucks because the card actually sucks ass. It's just like
horrible on its own.
It doesn't do anything, but
it is the best win condition in the fucking format.
It's undeniably the best win condition that we have, so it has to be the best.
2 blue, 1/3 Merfolk Wizard that says, when it enters the battlefield, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is your devotion to blue. Put up to one of them on top of your library and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. If X is greater than or equal to the number of cards in your library, you win the game. I'm sorry I wasted everyone's life reading the whole card.
Yeah.
It's just the you win the game thing that's important.
The main takeaways, we don't have to talk much more about this because we all know this. We're watching a CDH podcast, but it's the most efficient win condition that we have from any reasons. It's very hard to interact with. It's a very low mana cost. It's very easy to find. Even pitches to Force of Will. It's a great card. It's a great win condition. It's at the top of the list.
Yes. It's a 5 out of 5.
At basically any point in the game, I would rather see Rhystic Study than Thassa's Oracle until like the last moment, where I would rather, honestly, more often than not, Demonic Tutor for it. Like, I don't ever actually want to see this card.
Neither do I. This and, honestly, the Consultation. I never want to see either of them. But if I find one and I have the tutor for the other, then boom, I'm great. Ready to
That's
go.
In the
and then
I'm situation. Super happy. Yeah. I'm not saying Thassa's Oracle is bad. I love Thassa's Oracle. I like that we have a win condition that's very competitive. I think this is a good thing to have a powerful win condition in
that's
a powerful format.
That's hard to interact that's hard with to interact specifically. With. Like, that's what I really like about it is that, like, all these other things, trying to make infinite mana has, like, a billion different ways to interact with it. But this just, out of nowhere, you can just go, Thassa's Oracle, Demonic Consultation, hell yeah, let's scoop it up and play another game.
Yeah, so it's the best card by a long shot just because it's what the format revolves around. It's the point that we're all looking at. Card still sucks, though. So, 5 out of 5, but it sucks.
On its own, it sucks. 5 out of 5, but it sucks. Yep. All right. Brain Freeze is the next one.
This is another one where... This one's even worse, though. Ah, jeez.
So, it's 1 and a blue for an instant. Target player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into their graveyard. Storm.
This is a win condition. Realistically, in a lot of ways, it's similar to Intuition, but it can't win on its own. It's a piece that you have to find. It's a piece that only closes at the game. Realistically, it's the same as Thassa's Oracle. It doesn't do anything besides win you the game. Realist. I mean, yes, you can mill someone's Vampiric Tutor or whatever. That doesn't happen. It doesn't come up.
If you already have one of the 3 main pieces for your Intuition line, this is always like the backup thing that I'm getting with Intuition.
It's helpful to close the game. It doesn't do anything else, but it's even less than Thassa's Oracle. Realistically, if Thassa's Oracle got banned, this would be the win condition of the format, probably. Brain Freeze.
Is this a 5?
I think it's kind of almost got to be. It's hard to rate it because it's so much different than Force of Will. Force of Will, you know what I mean? It's hard to compare the two, but realistically, like, yeah, it doesn't go in every blue deck, though. It just goes in the Underworld Breach decks,
which are a lot of blue decks, but there's a lot of like blue black decks out there that aren't doing Underworld Breach.
Thassa's Oracle goes in every single blue black deck, but there are blue red decks that won't play Brain Freeze.
Like, Thassa's Oracle doesn't go in Jeskai decks normally because Brain Freeze is like your main win condition, but Brain Freeze is nothing without Underworld Breach.
Right. And Thassa's Oracle is nothing without Demonic Consultation and Tainted Pact.
But Thassa's Oracle can be something with other things like Hermit Druid.
Yeah.
Or Brain Freeze, right? Like, there's other things you can pair it up with, which, like, Brain Freeze will always need so many other things.
Maybe Brain Freeze is like a weird situation where it's actually just like a 4, but it's just also a very popular win condition.
It's not going in the top 10.
Not in the top 10, that's for sure. Get it out of there.
It's a 4 now.
Yeah.
So even if we gave it,
I think that logic works.
Even if we gave it a 4.8, it wouldn't be in the top 10 anymore.
We're rating them in reference to all other Magic cards, not to each other, on the scale out of 5.
I mean, we're not wrong. This list still looks really correct.
Yeah.
We have still 4 more cards to get through.
Okay, let's talk about those other 4 cards.
Do we think Displacer Kitten is a top 10 blue card?
Realistically, no. In Atraxa, this is an 11 out of 5. This card is the most bonkers card imaginable, but you need to be in a specific Teferi, Sol Ring type of deck, a commander with a good ETB that you can reuse it. There's just not a lot of decks that can utilize it, but if you're in Atraxa, if you're in Tivit, if you're in Tevish Zot decks, this card is going to be great, but definitely not every blue deck.
For that reason, it's unlike Thassa's Oracle and Brain Freeze, where it's played rarely enough in blue decks, where I think I'm just going to move on.
Yeah, realistically, I think Brain Freeze is probably a 4.5, and this is probably a 4. Just sees less play than Brain Freeze.
Yeah, I would agree. Fairy Mastermind is a...
I also do want to talk about it. Displacer Kitten is a fucking nuts card. The card is absolutely broken,
And
it being able to like protect your Atraxa, flicker out your other things, if someone wants to get rid of the Rhystic Study, you flicker it out. If someone, like, you can get so much extra value with flickering Dockside and flickering so many ETBs.
Strong. Like, the disclaimer for this part of the video is that any card that doesn't make the top 10 is not a bad card. We are only talking about super bananas, bonkers, super special, awesome cards today.
The best cards that basically go in almost every blue deck.
Exactly. So just because the card's not going to be on the top 10 does not mean that we think it's weak. We already think it's really good.
Yeah, but I would probably give Displacer Kitten a solid 4.5.
I think it would probably be around in there then too.
You haven't been tracking all of our scores for all of these cards, have you?
I have, up until we've realized how high the score needs to be in the top 10.
Okay.
So if it's not affecting...
Because I'm kind of curious what like the next like 15 cards after the top 10 would look like, but you can just do that in post.
We'll
I don't need to do that.
Know right what instead. They look like even without these cards we're talking about.
Okay, yeah. Just, we'll figure
so
it out
many,
in post.
Yeah.
I'm just curious as to where they'd rank against each other.
Where do you want to put Displacer Kitten in between Dress Down and Phyrexian Metamorph?
That's what the list looks like.
That's what it looks like at 4.5, and this is not even in the top 15. This
how
is
about,
top 20.
How about in post when you're editing, you can sort them in a small list that just very quickly you put them in order.
Okay.
Do that.
All right. That sounds good.
Because for the viewer, I would be, we've been talking about all these cards. I'm interested in how they all rank. But you can just decide how they rank afterwards. Just sort them together.
It's my decision.
Yeah, you run the podcast.
I run the podcast. All right.
What's the next card? We have one or two more?
We have three more.
Okay.
Fairy Mastermind is the next one.
Fairy Mastermind is a powerful new addition.
We stopped reading these cards.
You want to read this one?
This is one in a blue for a flash flyer that says whenever an opponent draws their second card each turn, you draw a card and you can pay three in a blue to have each player draw a card, and it's a 2/1.
Stops a Thoracle Win when you need it to off of an activation, which is great. That drawing a card ability doesn't trigger as often as you'd like it to. But I still like the card, probably a little bit more than Ledger Shredder, which is maybe a card that we'll talk about after this a little bit.
I actually don't have Ledger Shredder on this list at all anymore. I feel like that's so fallen off, and I feel like Fairy Mastermind has even not stayed relevant since it's been printed.
I would say Fairy Mastermind is probably less powerful than Phyrexian Metamorph. I'd probably rate it like a 4.3 or 4.4.
And maybe Orcish Bowmaster has a lot to do with that, because like
Definitely. This
card got printed and then like a month or two later we saw Bowmaster, and this card like actively is asking to die in the face of that card.
Yeah, I could see it in Timna blue decks, but you're like you said, Orcish Bowmaster shreds this card up pretty good, and for that reason it's a little bit less powerful. Worse than Phyrexian Metamorph, probably like a 4.3 or 2.
I'm giving
like
it a 4.4 so that we can put it above Flesh Duplicate and not have to argue about it.
Interesting. I kind of like Flesh Duplicate more in the decks that I'm playing right now, but I could...
Both of them aren't seen play in every single deck.
Yeah, they're around the same. I could see that.
All right. Time Twister.
Oh, yeah. One of the Power 9.
This is one of the only Power 9 you can play in the format. This card is 2 and a blue for a sorcery that says that each player shuffles their graveyard and hand into their library, then draws 7 cards.
Time Twister was once upon a time a very powerful card in CDH, whereas now I think it's a little bit less. It still does see play in a lot of blue decks, but shuffling your graveyard into your library kind of stinks if you're an Underworld Breach deck.
Yeah, now that a lot of these blue decks are trying to leverage their graveyard for value with their win condition, it is... kind of looking like a lot of them want to play Windfall instead.
I think if you are in a Thrasios deck that is looking to maybe use Time Twister as a win condition, looping it with things like Noxious Revival or, I don't know, whatever else to draw through your whole deck, I think there it can be fine. You can loop Eternal Witness and Lightning Bolt and things like that. If you're not doing that, if you're not looping it, if you're not using it as a win condition, or if you're not using it specifically as like a wheel and like a wheel payoff deck with Smothering Tithe and things like that, I don't really love this card anymore.
Yeah, me neither. What do you want to give it as a rating? I'm thinking it's kind of like a 3 now.
What do we have it for? Do you know offhand?
Gilded Drake.
It's around a Gilded Drake. I would say it's around a Gilded Drake. Specifically, Gilded Drake being like, these are old powerhouse blue cards that at this point I like a little less. That sounds kind of crazy because Time Twister is like a $9,000 card that is obviously very historically powerful. But right now in CDH, it's not one that I'm looking for more often than not. In Grixis decks, not even Grixis decks, because of Underworld Breach, and still I don't often look for it, but sometimes.
That's the thing. Like, we've talked so much about how wheels can suck, especially when you use them wrong. So I kind of think I'd rather have both Snap and Gilded Drake, which makes me want to put this below a 3.5 then.
We have Snap at 3.5?
Snap's a 3.5.
I think it's better than Snap. I think it being graveyard interaction is also powerful, but
that's a stretch. Like, you can't respond to something with the Time Twister a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's that interaction.
It's like playing a Bajuka Bog, right? Like, unless you have crop rotation, like, it's not really going to help you in the time that you need it. People can still brain freeze after and then fill up their graveyard.
You said Gilded Drake was 4?
I have Gilded Drake at a 4, yeah.
I still think this is a 4. I think maybe a 3.9. It's just under Gilded Drake.
I'm going to give it a 3.9 because there's more decks I'd rather have, like, an interactive creature like Gilded Drake than I want a wheel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Our final card is Born Upon a Wind.
Oh, yeah, new one.
It's one in a blue for an instant that says you may cast spells this turn as though they had flash, and it draws you a card.
This one's a new addition. I'm not sold in every deck yet because it's still new, but the ceiling has proven to be very high. The floor is pretty low, but this can really help you win in some really interesting situations, which is really helpful for CDH.
It's hard for me to want to put this in the top 10, though, because, like, most of the cards in the top 10 are seeing play in every single blue deck.
Right, and I don't think this sees play in every blue deck.
But the blue decks that are playing it are, like, going bonkers with it.
I still think this is a solid card. I still think it's probably like a solid 4, 4.5, somewhere in that range.
I think it's up there too. I think kind of around the 4.5 era up there.
It's certainly very powerful, but just not quite as powerful as the counter spells that we said we weren't going to talk too much about, but then they consisted of most of the top 10.
Well, they're just the best blue cards.
We can't deny that.
Yeah, we couldn't not make a list of the best blue cards and not put counter spells.
What are some of the things we have at 4.5?
So Phyrexian, Metamorph, and Dressdown are our 4.5s. We have Cyclonic Rift at a 4.522.
I think this is in that same ballpark. This is probably worse than Cyclonic Rift, but maybe also worse than Phyrexian Metamorph just because I'm still not sure. It's still proving itself. So I'll say a 4.4 is what I rate this card.
So is it better or worse than Fairy Mastermind now?
Better. Where's Fairy Mastermind?
I think it's better than Fairy Mastermind.
Yeah, better than Fairy Mastermind.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, better than Fairy Mastermind.
All right, we're going to take it from the bottom, because screw it being a top 10.
The very bottom.
We have, I think, every card that we have in here. All right, we're going to do the whole thing. I hope I didn't miss any cards after I put something in, but this is everything that I have jotted down here. So at our lowest card, our worst blue card we've talked about today is Snap.
Yep, that makes sense.
Then Time Twister. Then Gilded Drake is better than Time Twister, but Flesh Duplicate is better than that. And then Fairy Mastermind is better than that.
No, sorry. Fairy Mastermind has to be worse than Flesh Duplicate.
Well, we put it at a 4.4 and Flesh Duplicate at a 4.3, so...
Is it too late?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Flesh Duplicate and then Fairy Mastermind's better than that.
Wrong.
Well, too late. Born Upon a Wind is better than Fairy Mastermind. That's correct, we know. Then Phyrexian Metamorph is better than that.
You got that right, too.
Then Dressdown is better than that. Cyclonic Rift just inches out Dressdown.
But that might switch over time.
Over time, I could see that, too. Chain of Vapor comes in as the next card as the best bounce spell.
Yep.
Flusterstorm is the first counterspell that we see on the list that's better than Chain of Vapor here. That's immediately followed by Mindbreak Trap, which is immediately followed by Intuition, which is followed by Mystical Tutor then.
Yep.
After that, we're getting into our first fives. This is Phantasmal Image. This is then Swan Song, Mental Misstep, then Force of Will, Mystic Remora, Rhystic Study, and Thassa's Oracle.
That's great. We left off a few. Right under Flusterstorm and before Chain of Vapor, I think in order we forgot Force of Negation, Fierce Guardianship.
We did not rate those cards because we decided not to.
I know, but I'm adding in relation to the other cards, this is where they would go, is Force of Negation, Fierce Guardianship, Mana Drain, An Offer You Can't Refuse.
That was 4.
I think it was just those 4. Those 4 go there. like right under Flusterstorm.
Pact of Negation.
Pact of Negation is the other one.
Yeah, there we go. They all go right there.
And then Spellpierce goes like where Time Twister is. Mistcast goes beneath that. Daze goes where Spellpierce is.
Way down there.
Just like rattling off the other blue cards that might feel right.
Like Spellseeker's not around anymore.
Brainstorm is like a two these days. Ponder is like a one.
Yeah, Preordain's no one's
a
playing
one.
That stuff.
Gitaxian Probe's like a one right now.
Yeah, they're all really bad.
All bad. Yeah, and then that's the list. Hold on, let me look through my entire binder of blue cards and see if there's anything else. We didn't talk about Jace Wielder Mysteries. We didn't talk about Dispel, Teferi, Master of Time, Spellseeker we didn't talk about, Fabricate. Isn't it crazy how many playable blue cards there are?
I know. We need to talk about Transmute Artifacts.
We could have spent 4 hours talking. We could talk about High Tide, Baron Master Wizard. That's a blue card. Arcane Laboratory, Jitting Ataxius, Core Augur we could have talked about. We could have talked about Cloud of Fairies. We could have Unsubstantiate, Mind's Desire, Laboratory Maniac. Can you... CDH podcast, and we don't talk about Laboratories Maniac.
That card sucks now. I had to cut it off somewhere. We'd be here for 6 days.
100% right. Training Grounds, Hullbreaker Horror. Like, Hullbreaker Horror. We didn't even talk about Hullbreaker Horror. Narset, Part of Veils. Yeah. There's so many blue cards. We could... I'm not going to say Stifle out loud on a CDH podcast. Don't you even think for a moment. Tezzeret the Seeker would have been a great one. We could have talked about that one probably.
There's so many good cards.
Rapid Hybridization. One mana destroy creature.
No way that this podcast was going to make anyone happy.
No, not
they're all going to be sad.
We spent a second on Delay, and Delay is like...
One of the best counter spells right now.
Very powerful. We talked about Misdirection. We didn't talk about.
No.
Another free counter spell. All the good cards that go in Yuriko that are only going to see play in Yuriko. Manipulate Fate. You kidding me? Food Chain.
Why is that card in that binder?
I should get rid of a lot of these. Yeah. Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Kajo, Alex, Sean in the Ice, Mark Cirillo, SoCal Acura, Storm Again, and Luke Cook, AJ Alwasabi, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Uncle Butch, Kwaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, and Baby G-Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Big thank you to Dragon Shield for supporting the show. Make sure you use our affiliate link down below and code PlayToWin5 to get 5% off your order.
Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram for more content.
Thank you so much for listening or watching.
See you next time. Should we talk about our $50 patrons?
Nicholas Balder, reactive with threes instead of E's, Tyler Watson, Brian Barrington, Zachary Coulson, Tyler H, X Tyler the Tree X, Mawcraft, Driving Crooner, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Mitchell Shepard, Justin, Man Solo, Pedro, Jacob Depp, Michael Ballou, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. But that's not necessarily happening as much. But that's not necessarily happening as much as... Wow.
Blue!
I think that's all good.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.